The Old Testament reading for the 6th Sunday after Pentecost is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, "Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there," or "Sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you, and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, which says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law, but fails in one point, has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. From there, Jesus arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now this woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth. And she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And he said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. They begged him to lay his hand on him, and taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And he looked up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Mark 7, 24 to 37. The sermon title is "Jesus Has Done All Things Well." You may be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is the created world good or bad? I'm not asking the question of whether the world does good or bad in a moral sense. I'm asking whether the world has been created well or poorly. Now, you can look all around you and see wonderful things in God's creation. Such things testify to God's handiwork, his intelligence, his brilliance in design and execution, his omnipotence, and his perfection. On the other hand, you can see things that really are not so wonderful in creation. Now, my kids' favorite example is the mosquito. Every time that we went camping or hiking and ran into mosquitoes, the question came to me, "Dad, why did God create mosquitoes?" Good question. After all, not only are mosquitoes a pesky pest that fly into your eyes and ears and nose, they also have a nasty bite. Furthermore, as many of you know, mosquitoes can carry deadly diseases. During the years between 1999 and 2010, it is estimated that 3 million people were infected in the United States. Most of these cases, and this was West Nile virus, most of these cases were blamed on that same pesky mosquito that my kids complain about. 3 million people. Now, there are plenty of other bad things in creation, things that are bad for human beings, well, and for animals too. Think about the weather that produces disasters like hurricanes and tornadoes, floods, ice storms, lightning strikes, and the like. Not everybody can move here to California where there isn't that type of weather. But if they move here, they might encounter devastating earthquakes and the annual wildfires that are now plaguing the Golden State. They have their tornadoes, we have our annual wildfires. This season, by the way. Another case, in March 2011, an undersea earthquake off the coast of Tohoku, Japan, was at 9.0 on the Richter scale. It caused a tsunami wave up to 133 feet tall, which traveled 6 miles inland in some places. Nearly 16,000 people were killed. Can you imagine that? 1 million buildings totally or partially collapsed, and the Earth's axis moved 10 inches because of the quake. It was the most powerful earthquake to hit Japan since the keeping of historical records there, and the fifth most powerful earthquake anywhere on Earth since the development of seismic gauges in 1900. And I think that tsunami wave is why we now see tsunami signs and warnings here in the Bay Area. Now, when you fix your attention on things like these bad things, like mosquitoes, West Nile virus, or the Japan earthquake, you might think that God botched the creation of this world. If his intent was to create a place hospitable for mankind, he looks like he only got it partly right. And then when you look at human beings themselves, with all their frailties and diseases, which you know about, because you've gone through some of that, you might wonder what kind of creator God really is. Now, when we observe Jesus in the Gospels, as we do again this Sunday, we can see his reaction to his own creation. Now, don't forget that according to the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, Jesus existed before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Jesus was there at the creation of the world. Jesus was there as God's design for this earth was executed in 6 days. Jesus was there as Adam was formed, came to life, and when Eve was brought to Adam. Now you might remember that God said, after the creation of Eve, that it was very good. So by God's judgment, the created world is very good. But then Jesus came across the deaf man in our gospel lesson. And deafness is not a good creation of God. Now we have various names for such people in our culture. The proper term we use today is disability. The man had a significant disability in which he could not hear and his speech was impeded. We don't know the extent or type of deafness that this man had, but apparently was related to his speech. This deaf man lived in a closed world without much communication with human beings. And you can understand this if you read the writings of Helen Keller. What did Jesus do when he saw the deaf man? In verse 34, it seems very insignificant. It says that he sighed, and then he healed the man. Now, this sigh of Jesus is very important. Some theologians and commentators said he sighed out of compassion. And Jesus was certainly compassionate, as the Gospels declare in many places, for example, Matthew 9:36. But I think this sigh was for another reason. It's the sigh of an inventor whose invention is not working properly. It's the sigh of the creator whose creation has gone bad or is botched. St. Paul writes about the sigh of the creator and the groans of the creation in return. Romans 8:20-23, I read this. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only it, but we also who have the first fruits of the Holy Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our bodies. End of quote. Do you know what Paul is talking about here? He's talking about the consequences of the fall, that is the sin of Adam and Eve, as those consequences were imposed by God on the created world. After Adam and Eve had eaten the forbidden fruit, God imposed on the perfectly created world both corruption and frustration. Frustration means that the created world doesn't work exactly as it was created, but it is frustrated. Included in this frustration is God's curses of backbreaking labor, crop failures, and hard labor for women at birth. Corruption here means the tendency for living things to die and decay, and for non-living things to tend toward disorder or chaos. Included in this corruption are the diseases and the disabilities that affect you personally, One or more of those someday is going to cause you to die. Now here is our conclusion. The world was created very good, even perfectly. But since the fall, it's a botched job. And it wasn't botched by God, it was botched by Adam's sin, with the consequences that God imposed, corruption and frustration on the created world. God promised Adam, the day you eat of the fruit, you will truly die. And all mankind, without exception, has been dying ever since. And that is where Jesus came in to this world. Jesus came into this world to deal with the root cause of creation's corruption and frustration. Jesus came into this world to deal with sin and your sin too. Until sin is gone, the world can't be fixed. It's the root problem. When sin is gone, the world can be fixed. When Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself all the sins of all people on this planet, from Adam and Eve until the very last person to be conceived before his return. What do we say in the Agnus Dei canticle of our liturgy? Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. When sin is taken away, and it's gone, the world can be fixed. What happened when Jesus died? Do you remember? The created world itself knew that something was happening. The sun became darkened, Luke 23:24. And there was darkness over the whole land for 3 hours, Matthew 27:45. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn in two. The earth quaked. The rocks were split. The graves were opened. And some of the dead believers were raised from the dead and appeared to many people, Matthew 27:51-53. The raising of these saints at Jesus' death demonstrated that the corruption and frustration of creation was starting to be rolled back, as the sin of the world was taken away. The events of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection prove that the bad things in this world are not permanent. Jesus will return someday to restore creation to its initial perfection, to restore you to life, and to restore your body to its original planned perfection. Even so, as we wait for Jesus, we thank God for his love and compassion for sinners. In the name of Jesus, the Savior of mankind and all creation. In Jesus' name, Amen.